Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Finding the Kingdom Culture. This is lesson 18 in our series titled, The Light of the World. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Amen and amen. We welcome you here today. We're so glad you're here. Oh, look at the children. They are everywhere. We've been invaded by munchkins. They're everywhere. Amen. That's wonderful. We do thank you for answering the call of God and being here today. I got a feeling that more have been invited than showed up, but nonetheless, we're glad that you answered the call of God to be here, because there's something that happens when we answer the call of God, when He has an assembly. We kind of get used to Sundays. It's when we get together. But the truth is, we're called by His Spirit here to assemble together. And we should not be ignorant of the fact that Satan does not want us to get together. And there's a reason, I believe, why he would love for us not to pull that off. Some of you are here today that you don't really even know why you're here, but you're here. If you don't know how you got here or why you got here, it's for sure God got you here. Because if you'd had anything to do with it, you wouldn't be here. But you know you're here. God's got you here. And it's my prayer that something will be said today that God's wanting you to hear. There's something happens with our hearing, though. We have to say yes to what we hear before it is stored in the heart. Amen. So my prayer is that we'll learn how to say yes to God even more. We're in this series called The Kingdom Culture. And as you can see at the bottom of that slide, it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surely to goodness, as much hell as there is on earth, surely to goodness there's a voice somewhere calling for heaven to invade this earth. Surely is there a voice somewhere that is calling down all of heaven to be exploded upon this earth. I believe that that's the call of the church, to call that in. Now, for that to happen, today I'm actually speaking on the light, a candle under a basket. In this series, we're speaking on parables. And we believe that hidden in these parables is some revelations of what the culture of the kingdom is. I know the world has a culture. The North has a culture, the South, different colleges, different families. There's all different types of cultures, but I'm just basically interested in one. And that's this kingdom culture, because I don't know about you if it's been decided yet, but it's been decided for me that the culture that I will be living in will be His kingdom. It'll be the kingdom of God and His culture. I said earlier that which is more real, this natural world or the spirit world? And I submit to you that the spirit world is more real than the natural world. The testimony is this natural world will not last forever, well, especially for us. It has a beginning and it has an end. But eternity lasts forever with no end. So I submit to you, which is the more real? Eternity, forever, always has been, always will be, or just the now? Well, now is not forever. So it's not more real. It's less real. So let's speak about taking that's more real and injecting it into the less real and quit acting like the less real is the more real all the time. Here we go. To do that and to begin this process, We must be awakened. How do we know that we're... Did you know when you're asleep, you don't know you're asleep? The only way you know you were asleep is when you woke up. Think about it. If I could do anything today, it would be to wake us up. Shake us and wake us up. Have you not noticed God's been trying to wake you up all the time? He's constantly shaking us. And we blame it on the devil. But He's shaking us to wake up. Why is He wanting us to wake up? He says this in Ephesians. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. And Christ will do what? You see, I can't give you light unless you're awake. Say, Alan, I'm awake. Like, did you really mean it? Christ can give us a light, but only when we're awake. When we are asleep, we don't know we're asleep. Like I said earlier this morning, unless you're asleep in your dream, and then you wake from a sleep and you dream and you found out you were still in a dream, but you're asleep all the time. We want to be shaken and awaken out of our sleepiness so that we can receive the light of God. I know if we are asleep in our troubles, if our life circumstances have captured our minds today, if our lack of finances has captured us today, if our sicknesses and illnesses have captured us today, I'm asking you, all of that, all of those things do not last forever. The light of God, God's truth, is eternity. So let's operate out of eternity for a moment. And let's be awakened out of our sleep so Christ will give us light. Now, do you see that blank screen? If you would, focus on that blank screen. What do you see when there is no light? When there is no light, there's darkness. So what do you see? Do you see darkness or do you see nothing? You see nothing. So the absence of light means darkness, and in darkness, I can't see. The Scripture speaks of a dark heart. Is that a heart that can see? Not. Now, look at this one. You are the light of the world, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is the parable that our pastor has given me today. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do thou light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Isn't that something? You are the light of the world. A city, it says, that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Dave, you're remarkable. Now, is this going to catch anything on fire?
No, I don't think so.
All right, we're going with you here, brother. Everybody see that little light right there? All right, if that candle burns out, you can say, Alan, you preached too long. So the way I've got this figured, I'm going to preach till that goes out.
That's a 3-hour candle.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's not near as bad as waiting on corn to bloom. All right. He's speaking about a candle, about a light. And he says, you don't want to hide it. You don't want to cover it up. Remember the slide before this one. When you have an absence of light, you don't see darkness. you see nothing. So it is with our life. Now let's move on here right quickly. Anybody tell me what that is? It's the first light bulb. Now how did you know it was the first light bulb? Because I had a black and white picture, I know. Okay. Actually, Thomas, that fellow there is who? It's Thomas Edison. He gets credit for the first light bulb, but actually he didn't make the first light bulb. He bought the patent of the first light bulb, and then they kept working on it until they finally produced. He gets credit for it because he had the only one that would keep burning, so I don't think that. But he had a revelation that man needed light to see in darkness. That's what he knew. Man needs light to see in darkness. Now, it's important. You can either hear me just say words or you can catch what I'm trying to say. Because my words aren't sufficient to try to convey what I'm trying to say. So it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will, if this thing works right, you're going to see it before I say it. Because the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you before it comes out of my mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Spiritual sight is faster than sound. Spiritual sight is faster than sound. So it's my prayer today that you'll see it before you hear it. Say, Alan, I'm up for that. Now let's watch it. Now you're going to have to really follow me. I'm not saying I'll do a real good job delivering it, but I know the Holy Spirit will if you'll tune into it. So Thomas Edison had this revelation that man needed light to see in darkness. Now, we look at everything around us using light. You say, well, Alan, I don't in the daytime. Yeah, you do. You got the light of the sun. Everything you see, you have to use light to see it. God has created our eyes to interpret light at different vibrations. Did you know that there's more light going on than you can see? Infrared light. It's all types of light. Gamma ray light. All kinds of light. But you can't see it. But it's there just the same. But God has created our eyes to see a segment of light. If your eyes can see a segment of light, that means your eyes can only see the light that they've been created to see. So therefore, a lost person cannot see the light of God. You can't use the light of these eyes to see God. Light. You have to see God light before you hear it. How do we see God's light? It's His Spirit gives us revelation. When you got born again, you got some God light. You got a revelation in your heart before you heard yourself say, I do. Right? Light's quicker. Now, you have to use light to see everything. Without light, you wouldn't see anything at all. Is my candle still going? Preacher, I believe I got 2 hours anyway. I believe I have. Without light, you wouldn't see anything at all. There are 2 types of light. Now, go with me here. There's natural light. And there's supernatural light. My eyes are created to see natural light. They're not created to see supernatural light. I can see With my natural eyes, I can see before and after light. In other words, if I see a baby that's 6 weeks old, and then I go back and see that same baby 6 years old, my eyes can tell the difference. But I can't stand there and stare at that six-week-old baby and see that six-week-old baby grow into a six-year-old baby. Right? Because it takes time before that light becomes reality. All right? Now, supernatural light. Natural light. Now, let's look at it. This is it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the first day. So the first day, God said, let there be light. Now, the fourth day, He created the sun. So it's obvious there was some light before the sun. If you go to Revelation chapter 21, 22, you'll see who the light is. It's Christ. It's His Son. So it says, evidently, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, I believe He walked out on the scene and there was light. Now, light is a vibration. If you take a note on this piano, the high C, and you, that's a certain frequencies, which means so many vibrations per second. If you get those vibrations more and more and more and more, that turns into light. So that light that's shining on me is a vibration. That's what produces that light. It's a higher frequency than that piano can go. Are you with me? So, light is nature's way of sending energy through the universe. Say, Alan, I got her. You see, a vibration's energy. Now, scientists have figured out everything I just told you, but they don't know what makes it vibrate. They said they hadn't quite got to that one yet. But light, that's just a higher frequency than it is on the piano. It's just the same, but it's all a frequency. It's all a vibration. So light is nature's way of transmitting energy through the universe. Now, which came first? God's light or the sun? God's light. So God created the sun so we could understand His light. He didn't create His light after the sun. He created the sun after His light. Okay? So He's trying to speak to us something. There wasn't. Spiritual things are hard to convey through a language. That's the reason God uses so many symbols. The symbol of the sun is the same symbol in any language. The symbol of the cross is the same symbol in any language. So God has His first language is symbols. His second language is all other languages. But His first is symbols. And the reason He uses symbols is because He's conveying a message that you'll hear, I mean, that you'll see but not hear through the symbol. Nature's way of conveying energy is through light. God's way of conveying supernatural energy is through His light. So you see, the supernatural energy of light was created before the natural. You see, God had to calm down the super just to make it natural. I would to God we had to be calmed down a little bit around here. Just remember, now, was that mine? I think my phone just whistled at me. It's Lance Walnut. Do not pay any attention to it. Okay. I thought I heard something whistle there. Now let's go into supernatural light. There's this great preacher named Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards had this famous sermon. I know one of them y'all heard about, In the Hands of an Angry God. But this is another one of his famous sermons, and it's a divine and supernatural light. This is the one he preached when the Great Awakening took off. A divine and supernatural light. When we're reading this, it's just like this light up here, this candle. The idea of this parable is he didn't want us to hide that light. He wants us to let that light out. Well, I submit to you that there's a lot of supernatural in God's light, and we need to quit trying to make it natural because it's supered. It says this, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now look at that. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." I just read that to you in Genesis chapter 1. That's what he's speaking about. That's what he's referring to. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness," Genesis 1, "who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in our face, in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, let me move on. I'll get hung up if I go there. What creates a shadow? Now look at it. Shadows are caused by blocking the path of light. So if we have a shadow or darkness in our life, there's something blocking the light to shine in that part of our life. Why does God want us to get selfishness out of our life? It's so that we don't have a shadow. You see, when you have a shadow in your life, you don't know that you have an absence of life, of light. Watch this one. Now, what is that? That's an eclipse. Now, in an eclipse, there's not any good ground between the light and the darkness. You go from darkness to light, right? Light must be present to create a shadow. Now, here's what I want us to think about. If you know that you have a place in your life, it's created a shadow. Listen, everybody's got something. As I said this morning, everybody's dealing with something. I'm just sorry to inform you. I've talked to too many people. Everybody's got something they're working with. I'm 64 years old. What I found out is I thought I had something, and I should have put an S to it. I got some things, because after you get done with that one, then there comes another one, right? But the light must be present to create a shadow. My point being, the Holy Spirit is shining on your life to let you see your shadow. Shadow you're creating. The further you are from the light, the bigger the shadow. Now just think about it. You see those people, the sun's way away from them, setting in the west or wherever. Now look at their shadows. What happens to them? What happens as they get, as the sun goes down and they get further away from the light? Their shadow gets bigger. Right? The shadows are lies. The shadow grows the further away from the light you get. Your circumstance isn't as bad as you thought. You just gotten further from the light. And it gets bigger. And bigger. And bigger. You think it's getting worse and worse and worse. No. You're getting further and further and further away from the light. And it's creating a booger back there. How do you correct this problem? You start talking about the light and not the shadow. The more you talk about the shadow, the further from the light you get, the bigger the shadow gets. Right? You know how a story is. I got a friend of mine that's awful bad that likes to tell stories. He's still telling stories that happened 20 years ago. The reason I'm saying this is I was in them. And I told him here about 6 months ago, I was with him, he told the same story again. And I said, Doug, y'all know who I'm talking about. I said, Doug, that doesn't even sound like the same story 20 years later. He said, well, Alan, if I didn't change it, nobody'd listen to it. I said, but I'm the only one that's here. This is the way life is. Listen. Our shadows get bigger the moment we quit trusting God with the light. Now look at this one. The closer the light is right over you, the smaller the shadow. Right? If you're right over the spout where the light is, to be directly in His presence means there's no shadow. It means the light of God is shining straight down on you. Now, before that can happen, you've got to be conscious of the light and keep moving with it. You ever notice that? Well, this over here happens. Well, I got to get in the light a little bit. I'm getting out. Oh, my shadows. Oh, look at him over there. Y'all didn't know I was 12 foot tall, did you? See me? Feel I'm like a ducky. That's not a real duck, but it looks like one, doesn't it? So you see, a shadow will show you things that aren't really there. The only thing you can trust is the light of God. The light of God will speak to your heart something you can't see when you're going by things that you can see. So which trumps the light of God over what you see? Why? Because I'm directly under the light. There is no shadow. That means my complete trust is in the light. In other words, I spend more time staying in alignment than I do out of alignment just trying to get back in. Now, that's enough of that, isn't it? How do I stay under the light? It says this in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So how do I align myself to stay in the light? I follow Him. I follow the light. I follow Christ. Different circumstances come up in your life. You follow Christ. Where is this light? From where? And from where does it come? It says this in 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, there's that reference again, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we see here that God will shine His light in our hearts. Remember, light moves faster than sound. So, He shines the light in our hearts. But it also says something there, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, let's look at that. It's incredible. God Himself has shined this light, and its destination is your heart. Now, you can be sitting here and say, well, Alan, that sounds like words. If you're not catching it, if you're not hearing what I'm not saying, but if you're hearing the Spirit, I've noticed through this that if several people say, oh, yeah, I got it. I can see you back. Yeah, I got it. What's happening is the light speaking to you. And God says He's going to shine His light, which is this revelation, into your heart. I can't make that happen. Nothing I say can make that happen. Now, it is an act of God, and He compares this impartation of light to the light of the creation. Now, come on, somebody. This is huge. God is comparing the light He sends to your heart as the same light He used in creation. Can anybody fathom that? I can't, but I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. God used the same light in creation as He's shining in our hearts. That means the light He is shining in your heart is a creative light. Right? It's the created light. You see, God's working at creating you into the image of His Son. So therefore, we need creative light in our hearts. The happiest a Christian should ever be is when we repent. Oh my goodness, what a dark thing for me to think. But now I've got the revelation of light. I'm happy. Right? To be transformed equals a creation light. Therefore, His light within you will be a creative light. This creative light is full of the knowledge of God's glory, which is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, this light can also radiate from your face. Now, some of you've heard me say this before, but can I say it again? Maybe somebody hadn't heard. When the light of God is truly, I'm talking about true light here. We're not talking about some religious light. I'm talking about true light. Listen, Christianity, the Bible, all of this would not have sustained itself lest it be true. The question is, are we living proof that it's true? It's true. The testimony is it's here. Right? The question is the light in us? Do we help preserve this truth? Are we making it real? Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, this light can also radiate from your face. Point being, have you ever been around anybody? They just glow. Anybody ever been around anybody like that? Now, the second question, don't raise your hand. Did they get on your ever-loving nerves? That just means you weren't glowing, they were. That's all that means. Right? You see, when somebody's glowing, what's happened is, this is a spiritual science, the light of God has so filled their hearts and their being that it has to find an exit, and it's through your face. It's called the glory of God. So you see this person, you know, if you're really in the flesh, you just say, you see, when somebody's not as backslidden as I am, I just say they got a religious spirit. That works, doesn't it? Because somebody's got the glory of God, oh, they've just got a religious spirit. They're just trying to act like things are better than they really are. Well, hold your horses. Maybe that's not what's happening there. It could be that they've got so much of the light in their life that the glory of God is coming out of their face. I'll show you this to consider it. Therefore, His light within you will be a creative light. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. The reason I have it do that so I can get your attention. You're all looking at it, aren't you? We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is what? Freedom. And we who, with unveiled faces, all reflect, do what? Reflect the Lord's glory, are being what? Transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. That's true. Now, if it's not happening to us, it doesn't change. That's true. But the truth is, too, it can happen to us. I hadn't got there yet. I'm convicted. You know, I've had little moments I think I got there. And then I think I got there and it's gone. The glory that was on Moses' face can be the same glory on our face. Let me give you a little pointer here. If you go around giving your opinion all the time, that's not the glory of God. That means you're just more concerned about your opinion. Right? See if everybody's okay with that. Well, some of you aren't. You need to work that one out. The glory of God coming out of our face is a supernatural phenomena that can be real for believers. That's all I'm saying. Now, let's move on. Your face is the place of export of this glory or the light within. Now, here's the next question. How does your place of export look? Your face. My grandmother, she used to birth babies and bury the dead. I think they called them midwives or something. I never did figure all that out. But she was up on Barrett's Mountain, right at the foot of Barrett's Mountain. Talking 75 years ago, she'd birth babies and bury the dead. And she always told me, I'd go stay with my grandmother, just a little fella, 8, 9 years old. And she would sit with people when they were dying. And she told me, she said, now, when a person's spirit leaves them, it exits out. It exits out their face. You're like, wow, you're kidding. So one thing that I learned was, and then when I see it in Scripture, our place of export is her face. Then she went on to say, be careful what you export. So, it's a place of export, but it's going to export what's in the heart. Right? I would to God that I told my children my hope was that they'd meet Jesus before they did their daddy. So their daddy would look a little better. I also wrote them a little proverb, gave it to them. I said, what makes great fathers is very forgiving children. Come on, fathers, that's the truth. If you hadn't got it yet, you will. Is your face a reflection of darkness, or is it a place that radiates the light of God's glory? Good question. Now, you want to radiate, not agitate. Without thinking, you can radiate through your face what is in your heart if your inner man is not hiding this light of God under a basket. Now, this is very important because there is the light of God that's within us. But if this light of God doesn't get out, the darkness that is around us will stay dark. Right? It is at this point that all of the energy of the light is distributed throughout your whole body. So as the light of God comes to our heart, gets distributed through us, when this light shines, it actually produces an energy It is projected throughout your spirit, soul, and body, and this energy can bring healing to the spirit, soul, and body. You know, it's amazing how I guess we just want to hang on, don't we? We just don't want to give ourselves up. I guess we're not fully convinced God's got the better idea. He thought it was Ford, but it was God. God has a better idea. And we're just, for some reason, not fully convinced of that. We want a little bit of God and a whole lot of us. Now, let's move. When this energy reaches higher levels and cannot be contained, it then seeks an exit, which is through your face. It is at this point that others around you may see and feel this wonderful light of peace and safety. Now, next question. Is everybody around you feeling peace and safety? How can I know that I am exporting this light of Christ? You bring peace and safety. Are you bringing peace and safety? Well, you need to check what you're exporting. Well, you can only export what's been imported first. Listen, church. Truth be known, we got a lot of repenting to do. Truth be known. Now, the spiritual radiance will then have a drawing effect, a spiritual magnetism. You just cannot stop the effect. As Jesus was walking on the earth, he could not help but draw crowds of people seeking this glory light that shone through his face. We are seeking revival here. Is anybody with me on that one? True spiritual revival. I've heard people say, well, Alan is here. Only thing you got to do is look at the door. Is it drawing people? Is it drawing people yet? How do you know it's here? Because it will draw people here. It's just the way it works. It's the light will draw. Now, as this cup was running over with the light and power of God, just the presence of a person who radiates this glory and light of God will calm the most difficult situations in life. Would anybody like to be that person? To be that person, we need not to be that person. We need to be that person that brings peace and safety. A radiating life brings health to the person radiating as well as to those that are around them. Listen, church, what we say, the light that's within us, our confession of the light that's in us, has everything to do with the export of the kingdom. Now, let me hit one other little thing as I'm finishing up here. Fear is an enemy of the light, and it must be destroyed at all costs. Most bushel baskets over the light, most of it's fear. There is some pride and arrogance and other things, but most of it on humanity is fear. Most of it's fear. Now, when the light is covered or hidden by fear, the power and energy which is produced will begin to fade. Fear will cause this light of God to fade. It's a bushel basket. It's trying to cover up the light. The flow of the radiant light has been interrupted, causing chaos throughout the entire body. Now, that's for us personally, and it's also for a church-wide body. Fear causes chaos in the body. Now, we go on to say this. It says this in Scripture. It quit on me there, Teresa. Are you putting a number up? There it goes. The Scriptures speak about fear and how fear does not come from God. It's in 2 Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. I'm still hung, Teresa. I can tell we're going to have a hard time here, Tony. I don't know what's going on. Now, I need you to follow me right here. Light travels faster than sound. All right, give me a click, Teresa. Okay. Light travels how fast? 100 and 86,000 miles per what? That's pretty fast. Sound travels 1,088 feet per second. Are you with me? Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Sound travels 1,088 feet per second. Can you see why I was telling you, you should see the light of Revelation before you hear me say it? If we're really cooking in here, you're going to see it before I say it. I've been in situations like that. You almost feel like you should sit down, but you know you got to do it. Because Revelation spirits operating so quickly, the light's hitting so quick to God's people that they're seeing it before you say it, and then they can sit there and got a witness. Right? But sound travels at 1,088 feet per second. Now, it just raises this question. If I'm exporting light, what's going to hit somebody's heart quicker? The light I'm exporting or what I say? See, we're trying to persuade people by what we say. And they checked out 5 minutes ago. The supernatural light of God has to hit a person before you say a word. Did you get her? That is why lightning is seen before thunder is heard. You like lightning. Oh, there, and you walk here. Boom. Why? It's because light travels faster than sound. Consider this right here. The light of God's Word travels faster than the sound of the voices of darkness. Does anybody like that? Did you get it? The light of God's Word travels faster than any of the sounds of the voices of darkness that's after your heels. God's Word travels quicker and faster than the sound of the voices of darkness. Now watch this one. I'm about done. Help me, Teresa. It didn't click. Just one click. All right, watch this one. Remember, the light of God's Word gets there first. In other words, you're in a crisis. You're in chaos. The voices of darkness is telling you how you're going to fail. You're sick. You're going to die. Financially, you're not going to make it. All of these voices are out there. Relationally, it's all to put. All of these voices of darkness are speaking in your life. God's Word is so fast that even though your darkness is in motion, if you'll shine the light of God's Word on your darkness, it'll outspeed it and it'll get to the end before the darkness does. Did you get her? Say, Alan, I got her. Now, that's a true spiritual phenomena. The light of God's Word will supersede any crisis that you're in because it moves faster than sound. Did you get her? The reason church gets to be so dull sometimes is all we got to go by is sound. We need light. We need spirit. There's not a crisis in here. There's not a problem that you've got that the light of God's Word can't pass it and get to the end before the darkness does. Did anybody get that? You got to remember that the light of God's Word gets there first if you turn it on. You got to turn it on. You got to agree with God's Word. Say, yes, I want this part of God's Word in my life. I don't know what time it is. I'm about ready to finish. What have I got there? 11:49. I've got 1 minute. It's not going to quite get the job done. God, I need some light. I need it quick. A light and power is ignited when the light of God supersedes the words of darkness. See, that's the reason I don't care what anybody said to you that's negative, anybody that's cursed you, anybody that's told you how bad you are, or this is bad, I don't care. If you will receive and accept, say, God, I need your light to supersede this darkness that's in my life right now. That's what I need. I need your light to get to the end before these words do of darkness. Now, they're moving, but they're just moving at 1,088 feet per second. God's Word moves at 186,000 miles per second. It's the speed of light. Now, which can soften the hardest heart and heal the broken spirits of individuals, towns, entire countries, and one day the entire earth. That's what this light can do. Remember what Jesus said about the light. Teresa, look at me, dear girl. He said it would radiate throughout the whole house. That's what the parable said. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. In other words, your light will affect me in this house.
That's right.
Wow, isn't it? It's kind of cool, isn't it? So we come together. Your light affects me. My light affects you, and my light's moving quicker than your problems. That's a little hard to believe, isn't it? But I just told you the truth, and I'm standing here thinking, God, they ain't going to believe that. But it's the truth. That's the reason the book's still here. Because it's the truth. You see, when the light gets there before the words of darkness, that means you don't get what you deserved. Somebody say glory. You don't get what you deserve. Because the light of God trumps any shadow of darkness.
That's good.
Now, please, Teresa, there you go. You are the light of the world. Next. Okay, here we go. I'll do this again just to get your attention. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You are the light of the world. Now, give me my next one, please. There, did I do that? Or back up one? Back up one, please. Teresa. The light of God. You got her. Thank you. Now, I'm going to have what I'm going to call a prayer call. I'm going to ask Karen. She's going to start playing for us a little bit here. And I'm just going to throw up some scripture. If you want that light of God applied to your life today, I just want you to stand up then. Now, don't stand up if it don't hit you. Okay? Will you promise me that? But if a scripture comes up and you want to stand up because you want that light to supersede your words of darkness, and I want you to stand. Let me see if this is going to work, Teresa. It is not. You give me my next one. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you want that light to supersede? Do you want that light to write to the last page of your story? Give my next one, Teresa. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Do you want that light to supersede any darkness in your life? Give me my next one, Teresa. This is in Isaiah. Come on, church. Who wants this light? He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Does anybody want that light to pass through darkness? Give me my next one, Teresa. Philippians. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now that's either true light or it's not. For some reason I believe it. So Lord Jesus, we want this Philippian scripture. We receive this light to supersede any dark shadows in our life. Give me my next one, Teresa, please. This is in Romans, a little bit longer, but let's read it anyhow. No, despise all things. Overwhelming victory is ours through who? Through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced, he says he's convinced, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, or angels, or demons. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hey, that's pretty good light. That's pretty strong light. That's more than I can comprehend, but God's turned the lights on. Give me my next one, Teresa. Proverbs. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. That's to some individuals in here today. That's your light. Give me my next one, Teresa. It's in John. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift from the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Next one. In Exodus, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's all he's got to say. That's it, right there. That light can be in your life. And it can move faster than any of the sounds of darkness. So, Lord Jesus, we receive this light. Give me, I think I got another one. And this is my last one, Romans 10:9. If you're in here today and you don't know about this light I'm speaking about, it can be yours today. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're in here today and you're wondering if you're saved, if you do that light right there, it will supersede any darkness in your life. And that light will change your where you're headed. And it will for sure change your destination based on that one verse of light in your life. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the power of your light. It's my prayer, oh God, that this church will not hide our light under a bushel basket. But, dear God, let us radiate. Let us radiate into this darkness. Dear God, I ask and pray that these verses of Scripture and all that's in your Word, that these people that are listening to me today will understand that they can go to your Word and they can read any scripture of light. Any scripture of light. And call it forth in their life. That it'll outrun any darkness. It'll outrun any darkness. It'll outrun any darkness. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? It'll outrun any darkness. Listen, all the promises of God are light to the world. All the promises of God are light to the world. You can say it's too late. No, it's not too late. God's light's past. Right? You see, God's already been to the end of our story. We're going to be with Him for eternity. The devil ain't even got on to that yet. He's still trying to survive. But the light's beating to the end. So, Lord Jesus, Your promises is what we will lean on this day. Let Your promises be so. In Jesus' name, we pray. And if you agree with it, let's sing, and it goes like this. Your